Grateful for Tommy helping us to join our voices to praise God. Thankful for your presence tonight as well. I want to talk a little bit about God's will for your life, how to know God's will for your life, and share some thoughts that might be beneficial to you tonight as you're trying to do what you know and feel is right concerning God's will and trying to let that be seen in how you live. I thought about in 1990 when I was praying for Crowley's Ridge College, we had a guy that was on the team. His name was Tyrone Cornelius, and Youssef, Tyrone was from Wiener, Arkansas. You know right where that is, okay? And so we were playing Central Baptist College in 1990, and I was actually on the bench and watching all of this unfold. But yeah, right at tip-off, we get the tip, goes right to Tyrone. He dribbles down, makes a layup, turns around. He's ready to give some high fives, starting out the game with a layup, 2 points for Crowley's Ridge College, right? Except for the fact that he was going in the wrong direction. Have you seen that happen, Youssef? Going in the wrong direction. You know, no one from the other team was stopping him because he was heading right for their goal, made a layup right there for the other team, 2 points for Central Baptist College. And we were all going, Tyrone, what were you thinking? He was going in the wrong direction. I think sometimes we're wondering, are we going in the wrong direction concerning God's will? Am I going in the right way? Am I following what God wants me to do? Is this the direction that God wants me to go in? Now, let me just throw out a couple of things right here at the beginning. I'm not going to talk about everything that needs to be said about how to know God's will for your life, or about God's will, or God's will for example for some of the people that we read about in Scripture versus His will for others in Scripture or His will for our lives in a 21st century time frame. But a couple of things I do think are important just to kind of lay out from an introductory standpoint. And that's number one, that God has a will for your life. That is true. That is a true statement. God does have a will for your life and for my life. That's a true statement. There is a difference, though, and I think we need to understand, there is a general will that's just true for all of us, and we'll talk about that in a moment, but there's a general will that's true for all of us. God wants the same thing for every one of us. There's no difference in several of those type of general will thoughts, okay? There are, when we read Scripture, specific things that we see God saying to certain people, like Jeremiah 29, verse 11. You know, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you, plans to give you a hope. Except in Jeremiah 29, verse 11, there was a specific context that connected that verse. Now, I realize that verse is often used. I've talked about this before, taking verses out of context just because they sound great. It's not very helpful, beneficially. And you can read in Jeremiah 29 the plans that God specifically had for Jeremiah, and the plans that God even says there in chapter 29 that He had for His people at that time. But do I believe that it is true that God knows the plans that He has for us? And do I also believe that God wants us to be prosperous and to be blessed in this life? Yes. I believe that's true for all of us. There is a general, there is a specific. Who I should marry? Where should I live? What occupation should I pursue? You know, what area can I use my talents best in serving the Lord and His kingdom? I mean, there's some specific things I think, again, we could talk about. But understand that God gives us freedom when we get to decide how we want to go with our life. Have you seen people that you know without a shadow of doubt? You don't have to know what God's will is for their life. You don't have to know generally. You see those people and you see the life they're living, and they're not living a godly or a righteous life, and you know that they are definitely running in the wrong direction. You've seen that, right? I've seen that. I think that that's true for people in general. We have freedom. We have this thing called free will, and we get to choose. And sometimes people, in their free will choice, decide to go in a different direction. But what about those of us who decide to use our freedom, our free will, to choose to walk in God's life, God's will for our lives, and we want to do exactly what God wants us to do? Well, we have freedom to choose. Again, there are some general, there are some specific. If we're looking at general, what's Romans 3:23 say? Everyone sins. No exception. So because everyone sins, what does God want from every man and woman? Wants them not to sin. Wants to experience salvation, right? He sent Jesus in a general way for all humanity, for God so loved the world. That's everyone in the world. No exception. He sent Jesus to die for everyone in the world. Generally speaking, God wants everyone. He's not willing that any should perish, but what? That all, there's that word, should come to repentance. Generally speaking, God wants everyone to experience salvation. He wants us to, for example, He wants everyone to be saved through the blood of Jesus Christ. He wants all men to know His will and to obey His Son Jesus. That's just generally true for all of us. So yeah, there's general, there's specific things. If you want to look at this in context of maybe one person, if you were to think about just Moses, for example, I'm not going to get into Exodus chapter 3 and Exodus chapter 4, but you can see both in Exodus 3 and 4. You can see a general will. Moses was living a life of righteousness. Didn't God want all of His children living a life of righteousness? Yeah, generally speaking, that's true for every one of us. Did God have some specifics in mind for Moses? Yeah, I want you to lead my people, Moses. Well, I'm not a good spokesman. I'm not good at giving speeches. I get tongue-tied. I can't do that. God says, okay, I'll give you Aaron, your brother, to help you in that way. God had a specific purpose for Moses. So we see it in the lives of biblical people. We see a specific and a general, okay? What does the Bible say in Romans chapter 8, verse 28? I would say this is true, that, you know, for all of us, not just for any specific one of us. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. What does God want for all of us? Can God take a bad situation and make something good out of it? Yes, that's true. I actually talked about this passage in one of our T-shirt scripture classes a while back, and I think sometimes we take this passage out of context as well, but all things concerning God's will, if you were just do a study on all things, you would see that yes, this is true. God wants to work good in everyone's life. God can take something bad and make something good out of it. Now, not every single, I think another thing that needs to be just kind of laid out before we get to our few points we're going to look at tonight, is not every single detail is predetermined, okay? And I think that's important for us to understand just from an introductory standpoint as well. Does God know all of the details of life? Yes. But we're not puppets. God's not a puppet master. He's not pulling strings, making every single thing happen the way He wants it to happen. That's where some people really go wrong with this concept of God's will. Sweet little family hops in their car. They get on I-10. They start driving. Drunk driver hits them, kills them. Was that God's will? Well, there's some people who are going to tell you, yes, that's God's will. And I will tell you that you will never find that in the Scriptures. Yes, does God know the details? Does He know that that will happen to that family? Yes, He does. But remember that beautiful thing we called a free will a moment ago, that freedom that we have, that just as I'm able to practice my free will, that drunk driver, as bad as I hate to say it, has free will too. And his free will choices were not very good. And as a result, his free will choices took the life of other individuals, that sweet little family in the minivan heading down I-10. Okay? Things are going to happen in this life that are bad. God knows those details, but God's not making all of those details work out in some way. Now, what some people will tell you, I'm not going to tell you that, is that, hey, that was a bad thing, but God knew it was going to bring good about in some way, form, or fashion, and they'll use Romans 8:28. And I want to tell you, that's not a good way to reason through Scriptures. Does God know what's going to happen? Yes. But God does not predetermine every single action of every single person in this life. There is a general will. There is a specific will. Remember, number one, God has a purpose for your life. Number two, there's a difference between what God causes and what God allows. And then number three, you can know God's will for your life. You can know it. Okay? Now, I don't have one Bible passage that I'm going to say, let's turn to this passage and let's see it all unfold right here. And here's God's will for your life. Now, I'm sure there are passages and examples that we can look at and pick apart and say, okay, if you make this decision and if you follow this way and if you come to this conclusion, it'll all work out as it did in this individual's life. I believe that there are some examples like that in Scripture, but there's not just one passage we're going to open up to in Scripture and say, here it is. So let me give you just a couple of points tonight to just consider as we think about heaven, okay? Now, before we look at this, I want to give you a picture, for example, an image in your mind. Let's say that you arrive in heaven, and you enter into this room, and there's a room, and there's actually a picture. You see it on the wall, and it's unfolding, and it's a picture of your life, but it's all in black and white. I mean, you did enough to get to heaven. But when you see the picture on the wall, it's a black and white picture. No color. There's not a lot of excitement there. I mean, just a pretty bland life. And then you see another room and it seems to be all lit and you can just tell just from the rays that are coming out of the room. Well, what's that over there? Well, walk over there and look at that. Well, you see all this multicolored, beautiful picture. And he's like, that looks like my life. And he said, well, what's the difference? And God says, well, this is the life you lived, but this multicolored, beautiful painting of your life is the one that I had designed for you. I do believe, I am a believer that God, in general, wants us all to live a wonderful, beautiful, multicolored life. Okay, I believe that. I believe God wants to bless us, and God wants us to serve and honor Him, and I believe we can experience some great things in this life. It doesn't mean, because we're following God's will, though, that every single negative, bad thing is gonna be, you're gonna be exempt from. Because that's just not true. Again, you remember all those people that live in our communities, that drive on our highways, that go to our schools, and that we work beside, also have free will. And sometimes they make very bad choices that affect us, even God's people. But let's talk about this just from a perspective very quickly. Number one, I think if you're wanting to look at how to determine God's will for your life, number one, is it consistent with biblical teaching? Let me give you a case in point. Someone is married, a couple's married, and, you know, this individual not very happy at home and not very well with the relationship, and it seems to be that there's beginning to be more and more distance between this couple. And all of a sudden, someone pays attention to one of the spouses, the husband or the wife. And before long, you know, they start to like this little bit of attention they're getting, and that little bit of attention grows into a little bit more attention until before long, there starts to be moments where you're looking forward to seeing that person at work or seeing that person in another environment, and you start to get excited, and then there starts to be a little bit of small talk, and before long an unholy relationship starts to be involved in, and you're happy. This is exciting. You're thinking, well, surely this is God's will for my life. Surely this is what God wants for me, because He wants me to be happy. Well, I want to tell you that would never be God's will for your life, because it clearly goes against biblical teaching. Okay? So, just in general, number one, is it consistent with biblical teaching? Psalm 119 verse 105. We're going to turn to some passages for a few moments, so if you get your Bible out or get your app out, let's look at several passages very quickly. I know I've mentioned this before. Longest chapter in the Word of God, Psalm 119. 176 verses in Psalm 119. I'm told, I've never counted them personally, but I'm told that there are 167 references to God's will, to God's way, to God's word, to God's precepts, to God's ordinances, to God's law, to God's statutes in Psalm 119. So over and over and over in this one chapter, God is saying, listen to my word. Okay? He gave us his word for a reason. So Psalm 119 verse 105, your word is a what? A lamp to my feet. Something to illuminate literally where you're walking. Right? And a light to my path. God, in the longest chapter, in his word, that over and over and over says, listen to my will, to my way, to my word, to my precepts, my ordinances, my laws, my commands, my statutes. He is saying to us, just follow my word. So if whatever it is in our life that we're wanting to do in life, if it clearly goes against biblical teaching, then I can tell you that is not God's will for your life. You remember I asked a few moments ago, who should I marry? You know, one of the things that Chrissy and I have prayed, and we've prayed for years for our kids, that they would, number one, become Christians, and number two, marry Christians. You're wanting to ask, okay, I know God wants me to be happy, and I know God has blessed this life with marriage, and I know that inside the boundaries of marriage, you know, there's some beautiful things that I can enjoy that I can't enjoy outside of marriage. Okay? So that's a general way of understanding. God wants us to be happy, and God wants us to get married, and to enjoy a wonderful relationship. You remember the very beginning, it was not good that man should be alone. God wants us to engage. If we choose that lifestyle, God wants us to do that. But specifically, who should I marry? That would be a more important question to ask, right? Well, if you're trying to run it through the field, and please understand, I'm a believer that we should marry Christians. I'm going to tell you, that's my position. Someone says, well, who should I marry? I'm always going to tell that person to marry a Christian. Now, do we at times find ourselves in relationships and getting married to people who are non-Christian? Yes, that happens. But I think if we're running through the process of Scripture, what does 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 say to us? Not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers. What is the greatest relationship in this life that you will experience outside of the relationship with your parents? Your spouse. Outside of the relationship, ultimately, I guess, with Jesus. He's number one. But what's the your spouse is the greatest. If you've got a spouse that is not helping you to get to heaven, we're talking about God's specific will. God specifically wants every single individual to get to heaven. And so your choices in this life, how do I know God's will for who I need to marry? Well, 2 Corinthians 6:14. God does not want us to be unequally yoked with, you know, I'm going to go into a business venture. Should I enter this venture with someone who's not a Christian? I mean, I'm not saying that this passage is exact, but I would run it through the lens of this Scripture. Sometimes some of the most difficult relationships occur when you have people who have someone has a Christian perspective, someone doesn't, they go into business together. It can be very difficult. Again, let me just say, I'm not saying that you can't marry who you want to. You get to make the choice. I'm just giving you some advice from Scripture. I'm not saying you can't go into business with people who are not Christian. I'm just giving you some advice from Scripture. The Bible tells us, you know, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. That's just a truth. You can filter that through your life however you want to. But I'm going to say there are relationships that we experience in this life that are closer than any other relationship. And I think that needs to be factored in, okay? Now, let me tell you the beautiful thing about times when people don't marry Christians. I've been able to sit down and study with many of them. I've known of other people who have studied with them. Christy's grandmother, Maxine, married Bill. Bill was not a member of the church. He wasn't a Christian. He was living a life that Maxine's parents didn't necessarily want in her husband. But she married Bill, who was a non-Christian. He became a Christian. Through the years, he gave his life to Christ. Served as an elder in the church for many years. That story can be told over and over and over, but I can tell you again that people who marry non-Christians, the case is the majority of the time they leave faith. That happens way more. You know, fortunately, when Christy and I married, one of the things I knew, and one of the things we had talked about is she was going to marry a Christian. That was before we really got serious. You know, I started studying Scripture real quick. No. Seriously, in all seriousness, I knew that. I knew she wanted a godly man, and I knew if she was going to get married, she wanted someone to help her to get to heaven. What did I want to be? I wanted to be a godly man, and I wanted to go to heaven, and I wanted to help her get to heaven. And I can just tell you that there is a concept in Scripture where God wants us to follow specifically what His Word teaches. If someone says, okay, should I become a Christian? Should I be baptized for the forgiveness of sin? What does the Bible say? What's the clear mark of Scripture? Again, is this consistent with Scripture? The Bible teaches in Mark 16, verse 16, he who believes, help me out, and is baptized shall be saved. I'm just running it through the line of Scripture, and I can see where what God wants me to do as a will for my life. Number one, is it consistent with biblical teaching? Number two, have I boldly prayed for God to reveal it to me? For the sake of time, just amuse me for a moment. I'm not going to read Acts chapter 12. If you want to look at that at some point, and don't hold this against me for not reading all of Acts chapter 12, but most of you might remember the story when Peter is thrown into prison in Acts chapter 12. I think at the beginning, James is beheaded, if I'm not mistaken. And right there, when Peter's thrown into prison, you remember the church was gathered together, and they were praying for Peter. And what were they praying for Peter? They were praying for Peter to be released. Well, if you've read the story, you know what happens. Peter is released miraculously, and he goes up to where the church is meeting, and he knocks on the door. Little servant girl Rhoda runs to the door, and she opens the door, and it's Peter, and she's so excited, she slams the door, runs back and tells everybody, hey, Peter's at the door. They're like, well, you must be out of your mind. What are you talking about? No, I'm telling you, he's at the door. They were astonished. Somebody ran to the door. It is Peter. What in the world happened? Why was the early church meeting at that moment? What were they praying for? They should have all, when this girl said this, ran with anticipation to the door going, this is exactly what we were praying for. But it's almost like the church praying, but they didn't really believe that what they were praying for would happen. And God says, yeah, I'm going to make this thing happen. And Peter's released and he goes to where they are. And everyone's astonished that he's released. Well, why? When you pray, do you pray believing that God will answer in the way that you're asking? I mean, that's the way we should pray. When I'm trying to discern God's will for my life, I want to know, have I boldly prayed to God for His will in this particular area? Whether it's if I'm going to get married, who I'm going to get married to, if I'm going to take a job, where will I live, and what place will I be? I can tell Julianne that God's will is that she moves to Fulshear, Texas, right? Anybody on board with that? Give her book, chapter, and verse. I'm going to preach about that for the next hour. Maybe it'll work. No, I don't know. But prayer, certainly. What does James say in James chapter 5 about talking to God in prayer? Do you realize when we pray, we are asking for God, the very one who by his spoken word created this world into existence, to move on our behalf to do what we're asking Him to do? And God can do it. The very one who created the world is the one that we're talking to in prayer, and He has power to accomplish what we ask if we believe. You remember in beginning with verse 16, confess your trespasses to one another, pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. In other words, it's powerful in its working. That God can answer our prayers. Let's not be like those early Christians in Acts 12 and have little faith. Oh, ye of little faith. Let's pray big prayers with big faith. Is it consistent with Bible teaching? Have I prayed boldly for God to reveal His will to me? Am I asking God to help make things clear? Well, that kind of leads us into this third one. What do mature Christian friends think about this? Let me just say up front, as we think about this point, what do mature Christian friends think about this? You will always find a yes man. Tommy, haven't you? You know those people. You can ask them something. You know they're going to say yes to you automatically, whether it's good or bad. You will find a yes man or a yes woman, I guess we should say as well, to be fair. You'll find those people. But I want to know, what do mature Christians think? Now think about this. I'm saying mature meaning people who have some season in life. People who have experienced life and they've seen some of the pitfalls that others have made or possibly have made some of those same mistakes and they've come out through it on the other side and they can give some really good advice. Okay? Proverbs 12 verse 15, the way of a fool seems right to him, but a wise man listens to advice. Right? We want to know what God's will is for our lives. Well, God's blessed us with some of the best people right here, hasn't He? What do Christian people think about this particular thing that I'm wanting to do in my life? Again, Julianne, what do Christian people think about moving to Fulshear, Texas? Right? It's a great thing, right? All on board. Proverbs 15 verse 22, plans fail for a lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. You want to be successful? You want to walk in the will of God? Talk to some really good, mature Christians and see what they have to say about this thing that you're wanting to get involved with. Okay? Have doors opened or closed? Have doors opened or closed? Now, Jesus says in John chapter 10 verse 2 that He is the door. Right? I want to filter everything through Him, and I want to see, is this something that you know, I'm really trying to push forward in, and it looks like it's failing, but I want it to happen so bad. Well, just be honest. Has the door closed here? Maybe it was open at one time, and has it closed? Jesus is going to make a will and a way for you, but don't try to manipulate the circumstances. Being a diabetic, you know, here's the way some people reason. I could drive over here to Shipley's Donuts or maybe in Fulshear at Snowflakes and I can pull up and think, you know, does God really want me to go get a dozen donuts and eat them as a diabetic, you know? You know what? I'll tell you what. If he lets there be a front row parking spot open, then that's a sign from God and I'm going to do it. You drive through and every spot's taken and you think, you know, let me pass through by Dollar General and drive back by, wait a little bit more time. Maybe one of those spots is going to be open. Well, okay. Is that really the way God wants you to determine whether a door is open or closed? No. Just as in the same way when you're dealing with people, God doesn't want you to manipulate people so that you can get your way so possibly a door can open. We just have to reason again through this. God wants what's best for us. Look for open doors. Look for a clear way, a clear path. And then also, does it make good sense? Does it make good sense? Does this decision that I'm about to make in life make good sense? I had I think I've mentioned him before. Basil Overton is his name. He's been dead for a while. Great man of faith. Worked for International Bible College for years. He's written several books. Just very, very smart man. And Brother Basil Overton, I remember being in a class of his a long, long time ago. And one of the things he said, do you realize, and he called this the bony box. He said, you realize God gave us a bony box for a reason. And he would always then look at us and say, so use it. Okay? But that's true. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 18, come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. You know, I want to reason through what God says. Again, I am filtering this through Scripture. I am filtering the... Christy, go get him. I am filtering this through Scripture, okay? And I want to determine, is this God's will? Is this God's way? I'm praying about it, right? I'm talking to Christians. That's reasoning through a plan. I'm talking through this particular idea, this particular plan with other faithful Christians. And I want to know, is this what God's will? Is there a clear door open for me? And so again, let us use the wisdom that God has given us, okay? God gave us the ability to reason. Therefore, let's use it. And then finally, do I have a peace about this decision? Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts and be thankful. Okay? God wants His peace to rule in our hearts. He does not want us to be conflicted or torn up on the inside. He wants us to have a peace about these decisions. And again, if you don't feel good about it, maybe that's your internal voice saying, listen, this is not a good thing. Okay? Possibly it conflicts with Scripture. It could be that a wise member of the church has said, listen, this is not good for your life. Don't do this. As you've been praying for it, there's not been an open door. Again, do I have a peace about this decision? I can tell you without a shadow of doubt, one thing that God wants us to do is He wants us to follow His will and way for our lives. Proverbs chapter 3, beginning with verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. He says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Know that God wants us to trust Him. And He wants us to lean on Him. And He wants us to acknowledge Him in our lives. And I will tell you, if we will do that, we ultimately know generally what God wants. God wants every one of us to be saved. God wants every one of us to be evangelistic, to share Jesus with others. He wants this church to grow. There are things, God wants us to help people come into a saved relationship with Him. That's just a truth, generally speaking. Specifically, does God have some plans for you? Yes. Just consider the fact that you need to make sure you run those plans through Scripture. You need to do the best that you can to pray with all your heart as a righteous person. You need to ask what mature Christians think. Is there an open door here, or does it look like it's closed and I'm not going to do anything to manipulate the system? Does it make sense? And do I have peace about it? Those are some important thoughts. That's how you can know what God's will is for your life. You just run your thoughts and your plans and your decisions through that process. And if you are trying to honor God, you will know what God wants you to do. We're going to offer an invitation. Tommy has an invitation song picked out. Again, what does God want for you? What does He want for all men generally? To be saved. What does He want for you specifically at this moment in time? If you're not, to walk forward and to accept Jesus, confess Him as Lord, turn from your way to His, and to be immersed in the waters of baptism to have your sins washed away. If we can help you in any way, please come while together we stand and while we sing.